Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 278, part 1, Salt. Today is Friday, February 1st, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Friday night, we ministered the last beatitude, the B-attitude, how we should be. Today's tape is entitled Salt. I said our reward for becoming Christ-like is persecution. Jesus congratulates the persecuted. I believe this is the road to spiritual growth. Shows us how to depend on His grace, which is sufficient in every area of our lives. It brings the true believers together, and we gain, I think, power through persecution. I mean, when you have to fight, you have to fight. You get cornered, you can be dangerous. Anyway, persecution drives away all the cowards. And so many left the mount. Get the picture now. All of these people sitting and listening to Christ while He ministered His sermon from the mount. And so a lot of the cowards, I said, they had to leave. They had to go. Because that persecution is the road to larger, let's say, usefulness. If you're going to be used, you're going to be tried. And if you have faith, it's going to be tried. The trying of your faith, the Bible says. Maybe being in a mission is a trying ministry. Well, then you know you have faith because it's being tried, the trying of your faith. So persecution, then again I'll say, is the road to larger usefulness. You've entered in 100%. Let me tell you something now. Others will despise you when you see Jesus only. Now, I'm not saying that to be a rebel. I'm not saying that to magnify in any way. I'm just basically giving you a truth here. Jesus said, in this world you will have persecution, and it'll come a lot of times from brothers and sisters. Now that you see Jesus only, because everybody else is left. Because I know one thing, deep moves and great moves aren't made by huge numbers. By, I believe, then a deeper, richer commitment of a few. Childlike, let me do it, people. I want to do it, let me do it. Can I do it? Please let me do it. That kind of people. And so Jesus goes on and he said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The man gets up and he motions to his wife, let's get out of here. This may be contagious. Let's beat it. This may cause some kind of a dedication. I don't want to get involved. I don't need this. Let me find an excuse for quitting. All over now, people are looking for an excuse to quit. In Ethiopia, we're looking for an excuse to quit and to get out of Ethiopia. Less and less we'll hear about that. In Chicago and New York, California, and all the slums, we're finding excuses. Well, these people should go out and pick up paper out of the parks and do this and so on like that. That might be all right. But how about asking for volunteers to do that? How about saying, how many here would like to volunteer to keep the city clean? How about giving some rewards in this thing? How about encouraging people? Did you ever know that you have to encourage people? Maybe you're ministering to them. Maybe they're meaner than hell itself. And God has put you there to minister to that person. Why else are they there? Why are you there to minister to them? Preachers, are you hearing me on the radio? Why are you there? To minister to the needs of people, no matter who they are or what they've done. But mark it down anyway, persecution in the end. Even, let's say, a hint of persecution to come will cause people to flee. Because you know why? People have not heard it, to become Christ-like, to suffer his suffering. Haven't preached that since I can remember. So all of a sudden, love and suffering are a sudden brand new revelation. You'll hear it all over. And so Jesus goes on, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And so another group gets up. Let's get out of here. And they waddle out of that place. Let's just get going, huh? Off they go. Finding an excuse to get out. Well, now he's hit all of these points. 7 points. Blessed points. Blessed are you. So on like that. Do you call that blessed? Let's get out of here, Agnes. Let's get out of here, Luella. You've got to name off names that aren't too popular or someone will get convicted. Turn the radio off. Well, let's get out of here. These things are not popular with my thinking. And so we find some kind of an excuse, always, to leave. Can't we always do that and all of us do that? Person asked me, he says, have you not found any excuses to leave? I says, I found a lot of them, but I found more to stay, more reasons to stay than excuses to leave, because we always got excuses. We're born with excuses. He did it, she did it, they did it. Well, this isn't making it on account of this. And oh, if I only had the right amount of people, and if I only had the right, oh, they make me so sick, huh? What's that got to do with your in a church or in a business or in anything? I think it's an excuse to leave. I think it's all over. We're looking for excuses to part. And so I said, another group leaves. Who needs it? Now, I'm not talking about being persecuted for hanging around with a dunghill crowd. And as they are leaving, Jesus, oh, hallelujah, he starts to preach out there, and he says, rejoice, and he starts to really preach to those that are staying, so that those that are leaving can hear it all, and it echoes through the mountains. We reverberates. Talk about vibes. And as they are leaving, Jesus finishes, rejoice. And they're leaving, and they're screaming, rejoice, be exceeding glad. And they're leaving, they're running down the mountain, falling down. Jack and Jill fell down the hill and broke their crowns. They're rolling down. They're getting out. They're slip sliding away. They're crawling. They're screaming. They're getting off the mount. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you, and those that were leaving were the ones that were going to persecute. Now remains the salt. Jesus goes on. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? When born agains lose that doing good with vitality, oh, you can do good, but you can do it with a drag. And I just got to find some kind of excuse to get out of this mess. I'm talking about doing good with a vitality, with an earnestness, with a wanting to, with a salt that God has put in. When we lose that, who's going to do good? Will Jesus, he says, when I come, will I find any faith? Will there be any faith at all? Will everybody be scurrying off to seminars all over the place and talking about Jesus and slapping him on flannel boards and drawing pictures and all of this, and it's not even a reality? Will we have TV debates on prime time and who's going to have the most time and who's the greatest? You see, when you do away with the salt in the shaker, then shaking is pointless. It's pointless to shake someone when they don't have no salt. Come on, let's get busy. Come on. You can't make them do it. When they've lost their salt, let them go. Totally just say, you're not salty. Go ahead on and go. I can't shake something life into you. Jesus must give you that salt. Are you hearing this message? You're listening on the radio. It says, it is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden underfoot by man. Useless. And all over we're seeing this now, aren't we? As the movement dies down, and the charismatic movement dies down, and all of these movements and these prosperities and these different hyper-faith and all of this nonsense dies down. Shaking people, giving them a false revelation. No salt. But when the water of the Word really comes, and the water of the Word really comes, it waters down that salt, and it becomes tasteless. But here Jesus is speaking, even though there's a mount full, he's speaking primarily to his own disciples. He is speaking to those who have left all to follow him. Those, the Bible says, who are the salt of the earth. Those are the people who have entered the kingdom through poverty of spirit. What's that mean? Poverty of spirit. That means when there is nothing left for you to grab a hold of in the world. Nothing. When everything has dispelled itself from you and you're left there on a cross like Jesus Christ and you have become Christ-like, and that is the point that you have to reach when you're really salt for God. Having done all, the Bible says, stand, hallelujah. Stand there having done all. Having that poverty of spirit by taking on Jesus' attitudes. They have caught the vision. They have caught the plan. They have caught the purpose. I'm talking about the redeeming and the transforming plan of God. Hallelujah. That you will suffer. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Hallelujah. What is there to complain about anyway? You hear so many complaints. People even invent complaints. Are you around someone that's always inventing and a complaint all the time and complaining of this and complaining of that? Well, take that complain and get out of here. Jump on that complain. Fly away. And I think this is an invitation to all of us. All who are willing to become salt. The salt of the earth. Something that's going to be used over and over and over again. Well, I hear someone on the radio saying, I don't understand that. What does this mean? Well, then consider the two chief words here. Consider these words, earth and salt. Earth, I believe, in this case, means the people. Those who need purification, preservation. And so obviously, let's say here, the earth meaning humankind. Mankind, laying in corruption and sin, needs salt. It's all mankind I'm talking about. It means all mankind. All that are lying in wickedness. It says, man made in God's image fell. A fly, let's say, alighted on that carcass of creation. I'm talking about that fallen nature. And yet, when it was young, it became a festering mess. And as men multiplied through all of these times, sin increases until we're at where we're at right now, a festering, filthy dunghill. What are we to do with the dunghill? The more rapidly it decays, the more it grows. Look at the depravity right now in the large cities. Look at it. You are not safe to walk out in the street. Don't walk out in the streets. It isn't that a person carries a gun anymore. Carry a Thompson machine gun. And then the next guy will get a tank, and the next guy will get rockets and airplanes. It says, evil shall abound. So what? You are salt. Did you think this is going to be heaven on earth here? No, it will not. Heaven's got to come. Heaven is in you. You're supposed to be that salt. You're supposed to give that out. Watch out who you gather with. So when Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth, what a compliment. I mean, it's a declaration of our obligations and our responsibilities. You are a salt shaker filled with salt. You are obligated to me. You have responsibilities. My friends, you listening on the radio, this is the hour. Don't put it off. This is the hour to become salt. I think when we want to compliment someone who is outstanding, we should say, he is the salt of the earth. The world even says that. Whew. Well, he isn't even worth his salt. You ever heard that old saying? I'm talking about that Christ-like attitude. When we have that, we are the salt of the earth. But you have to live the Beatitudes, all the things the flesh does not want to do. Peacemakers, oh, we don't want to do that. We want to have war. We want to talk all the time. We want to have war. Let's don't forgive anybody. Let's just talk war. Let's get mad. Let's really get it. Let's punch each other out. Now, I think we have a job, and that job is to do it right now. While the world right now is laying hopelessly in sin, nobody wants to touch it. We get into moral majorities. We stink worse than the world does. We are a moral majority, a great, huge dung heap of self-righteousness that stinks. I believe it is corrupt to the very core. I believe there is no soundness in it at all. Because, you know, by our very birth and by nature, a part of this corrupt mass, we grow up. We grow up without an uneasiness, without any alarm. And unless we are awakened like you were awakened by another voice other than our own, and until Jesus Christ opened you up, until you heard another voice, you didn't want to hear anything from anybody else. Mark it down. No one is saved but by the Spirit of God. And by the way, also, once that you're saved, you cannot be lost. Why? You are kept by the power of God. But anyway, the corrupt do not loathe their own corruption. Did you? When I was out drinking and doing my thing, I didn't loathe it. I loved it. Sinners do their own thing. They never grow weary and they never grow ashamed of it. I never was ashamed of what I did. Well, everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. Everybody's doing it, doing it. No. Were you ashamed of what you were doing when you were in it? No, you were not. They have no desire to escape from the miry pit. Did you? They resist and resent every offer of aid. I mean, a guy told me, hey, I want to go to hell. All my friends are there. What I've seen out of the church, I'd rather go to hell. No, I said, you don't want to go to hell. You'll have no friends in hell. Nobody's friendly in hell. But understand this, you listening on the radio, and maybe this is not a dainty little Father's Day message, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, the Spirit of God has put it on me to preach it. Say amen, somebody. If you don't start preaching the love and the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, what else is there in this whole world? Nothing. Absolutely, positively, nothing. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing it? How many in here are here? Are you on the radio? Are you hearing this at all? Lay down your Frito-Lay potato chips and your Pepsi Colas and let's listen to the whole message. But understand this. We who have been lifted from the pit can look on those that are in the pit with inexpressible, and I say this with all humility, inexpressible disgust, but also with pity. Say, oh my God, but for the grace of God, there I am. See, they are contented with their lot. Why are they contented with their lot? They haven't heard from the Church of Jesus Christ. Just like we were content. Corruption is the element of the corrupt. They do not welcome the hand of the deliverer. That's like when Legion cried out from his heart, filled with demons, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus? Why have you come before the time? What are you doing here? You don't belong here, and I don't want you. Let me state the most dreadful feature of our own case. We are not only vile, but vileless. Vilelessness, it is our, to be vile is our very nature. Who, me? Well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. I don't care. There is a part of us, friends, that flesh, that is vile, and it is our very nature. No, don't say amen. Say ouch. And so we cleave to it with all of our might, with all of our strength, with all that lies within us, and with a steadfastness of instinct. It is our life. If we could compare the case of the sinner lost in his sin with a man, let's say, that had fallen into the water and could not swim, all would be easy, wouldn't it? Just throw him a rope. He'll be glad to grab a hold. Just hold your breath for as long as you can. Let someone clasp their hand over your nose. Like this young man sitting here. Do you mind if I put my hand over your nose, young man? Listen on the radio. Now just clap my hand right over your nose. Now just hold your breath. Hold your breath. Hold your breath. Do you want to give up yet? No. He indicates no by shaking his head. No. How about no? No. How about now, young man? No. Doesn't want to, doesn't want to, doesn't want to. How about now? Oh, he's biting my hand. He's breathing. Are you breathing kind of hard here, aren't you, son? Are you glad to have life? Wouldn't it be easy if that would be the way? Well, that's the way some people preach. We'll smother you in doctrine. We'll smother you with rules and regulations and so on like that. We'll lay a trip on you. Huh? We'll make it so heavy you'll be so full of guilt and so frustrated. You'll cry out. You'll be continually repenting and running to the altar with your flesh to get saved over and over and over. And don't even make way for someone else to come up and get saved that really wants to be saved. Are you hearing this? See, to help the willing is easy. And it's usually successful. But what's going to make him willing? Sin. When we get so fed up with ourselves. When we get so fed up with our own self-righteousness. When we get so fed up with our sin. Even as Christians, as we grow, we have to get fed up. We have to get sick of ourselves, to get out of ourselves, to get up. We have to throw up to receive Jesus. Right now, I think there's a whole lot in the Christian world that need to have a good, pardon the expression, puke, so they can make room for what Jesus really wants them to do, to be filled with salt. We should be gagging on what we've been doing, what we haven't been doing. One or the other. We should gag on that. It's all sweet. Did you ever eat too many sweets? Pretty soon someone says, have another piece of cake. And you gag. No suffering, just all peaches and cream. See, the actual condition, I'm saying, of the problem is the exact opposite. Souls in sin love it. Love it. Even Christians. When that soul gets, let's say, well, we don't consider gossip sin, do we? It is a terrible sin. One of the very worst. Envy. Whew. One of the rottenness of bones, it's called. We love it. We love to watch TV and what's happening to this evangelist and that evangelist and this one said that. Oh, we love it. Something to talk about. Excitement again. Oh, huh? That is a real trick of the devil to introvert our thinking into ourselves. When there's a world out there that's lost, I think we should forgive one another and go on and say, hey, there's people out there that need to be fed. See, that spiritually corrupt love corruption. Let's look at the problem right, I think, right in the face. Let's be aware of the very desperate state of the fallen, ourselves and our neighbors. See, it's not a wish that delivers the corrupt from corruption to become brand new creatures in Christ. Let's get this one thing very, very straight before we get into the salt message. From its first plan, I believe this with all my heart. It is the final consummation and glory of sovereign free grace and mercy has done all the work of redemption and nothing else. You can take credit for nothing. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me should be our prayer every morning when we get up. But anyway, you listening on the radio here, I think the very first faint uneasiness under guilt. Are you hearing it? And that first faint desires to be free are marks of the Spirit and that spirit motioning in my heart starts to churn. Those are the movements of the Holy Ghost. You're going to see a lot of that in the end times because people are not going to minister to one another. And it says, in the end, Jesus says, the low, base, perverted things of the world will be raised up to confound the wise and complaining and bellyachers. Are you hearing it? Paraphrased, of course. But I'll raise them up to confound the wise. I'll even have to send angels to minister salvation. It's old hat. We don't want to hear it. Jesus died on the cross. So what? Huh? That's the attitude. That's the attitude. But why did he die on the cross? That's the point. I think that's a point that should be put out front. And that should be the cause of us wanting to be filled with salt. When we understand that, of course, we will be filled with salt. Are you hearing this? How do you come under this feint? Uneasiness under guilt. You're uneasy in your spirit. You're queasy in your gut. You feel something happening in the inside. How do you become that way? By salt. Salt of the earth Christians. When you are around, when you are around earth's people, your brothers in the flesh, by the way, when you are around them, you are the salt. Well, I think we should also recognize this. A portion of the corrupt mass cannot become salt to preserve the rest of it. You can't get your just partly, well, one arm full of salt. Put out that old salty arm out. No, the rest will be corrupted. No, you must be born again. I think salt then is different from the earth because it is new. And also, nowadays, it's kind of strange. It is a work of God in regeneration. Those who have been forgiven and renewed are salt. You are salt. Well, then why has the Redeemer given us that name? What feature of our character, I should say, or form of our usefulness, does this figurative expression indicate? Where does this all come from? I think the word teaches us something about the new creature, both in respect to what it and to what it does. And I think a lesson can be learned here regarding both its nature and its use. It lies wrapped up, I believe, in this very parable that I preach here today. In nature, and let's get this message so crystal clear that we'll want to be salt shakers. Glory to God. In nature, the new creature is not applied to the corruption that is in the world. It's the incorruptible seed. Get that down. The incorruptible seed. Life, I'm saying, to itself and left to itself doesn't turn rotten. The corruptible seed will always be there. I don't care how rotten your flesh gets. It's called the incorruptible seed. It's buried somewhere in there, maybe. Yeah, I believe there are mixtures of the old man and the Christian. Well, we all know that, of course. There are mixtures of the old man and the Christian while he remains in the body. Can you put your hand up on that one? Oh, no, I'm totally... Hey, I've been perfected my flesh. Hey. Well, let somebody step on your toe. Let somebody beep a horn at you. Let you get your receipt in the mail. You didn't pay your taxes and you paid your taxes. Oh, you're up then, boy. Ooh. Huh. I'm talking today about the incorruptible seed. But the new life from the Lord, which I believe has been quickened within us, is like its origin, not only like its origin, it's like its author. Now, although it may be lodged among earthly things, it itself is not earthly. Well, you're saying on the radio, well, do Christians fall into sin? A trap? You call that a trick question? That's not a trick question. It might have tricked you, fella, but I'll tell you, Christians do fall into sin. If any man say he be without sin, he is a liar, and there is no truth in it. I didn't say it. Jesus did. That's the problem. They're not going with the incorruptible seed. They think they have incorruptible flesh. And yet the new man in us cannot sin because he is born of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Well, how about this parable where the man took the talent and he buried it in his napkin and he folded it all up? It was still incorruptible. It was still incorruptible. It was buried, but it couldn't get any moisture. The earth couldn't get to it, but it was still incorruptible. That Jesus Christ in you cannot be corrupted. And if you just let it start to grow a little bit, it'll take over your flesh. Oh, you'll fight and you'll kick and you'll scream and you'll look for all kinds of excuses to get out of it. I want out! I want out! I want out! I want out of this! Huh? You'll look for all kinds of excuses, but you just give that little seed a little chance. Now, I'm not talking about you not going to heaven, but you'll be going there with one little burnt hair on your head, diapers on, and a paper hat, burnt tennis shoes, smoking, standing there like a little baby with diapers full. How many are hearing this? How many are hearing it? See, it's time that we preach down-to-earth, I-can-understand-it messages. Instead of flitting around, flitting here and flitting there. Hallelujah, da-da-dee-da-da-da. I'm dancing around like a bunch of idiots. But don't you believe in dancing in the Spirit? Yeah. But I've seen some of those people that dance in the Spirit. They're usually in the wrong spirit. They're only in the Spirit when everybody else is. It's like party time. Say amen, somebody. You see a little child, when they start to dance, that's real. And unless you become like a little, and the little kids say, they start dancing, they just, dee, 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 dee. Oh, sometimes I wish I was a kid again. I never went any place unless I ran or skipped. I mean it. I mean, and it was something about me. I was always happy. Not always, but most of the time. Because I was like a child. I don't know what it was. Had my little pony, and I'd ride my little pony with a cowboy hat on. Give me some of them Tootsie Rolls and some of these, and I mean it, with my little gun out there. God, I wish I was back there again sometimes. Oh, hallelujah. Give me a horse and a saddle. And I'll take off for Seattle. That's the way I feel about it. I think it's fun being saved, hallelujah. And sometimes folks can kind of make you want to cry and give up. But glory to God, what is there to go to? I haven't got nothing to return to. My horse died. Tootsie Rolls are a dollar a piece. Do Christians fall into sin? Idiots, stop asking those questions. You're a sinner. When you get to heaven, the only thing that's going to be there is sinners saved by grace. How did you get in here? Well, I did a lot of things. Let me think back now. Oh, wait, just a minute. I'll get my briefcase out and show you all the things I did. So-and-so, unscroll like a scroll. And then I see all the things I did? No, Jesus did it all. Those are just things you did because you had the fruit of the Spirit works. Lay your horn down, say you're sorry, give all the glory to Jesus, and you can enter in. Can you do that? A lot of people will think twice before they do. You mean, this guy over here, look at this crowns on this nest, though. I remember him. He's got crowns on, huh? And you got one of them little Huh? A little teeny crowns with a little diamond in the middle? 1/10 of a carat? Those that think they're going to be first are going to be last. And those that think they're going to be last will be first. And yet the new man in us cannot sin because he is born of God, I said. What is the salt used for in the world? Oh. Let me put it another way. When we say we are the salt of the earth, it's like a commander who cries aloud to his soldiers. Ye are the defenders of your country as he leads them forward to repel an invading foe. It's the same way onward, Christian soldiers. See, but if we confine our view to what the Lord has done for his people, and there's a lot of that. Look what the Lord has done for me. Well, get up, give your test. What has the Lord done for you? Well, for one thing, I prayed about a brand new Cadillac, and I got that. And when I prayed, and I was specific, I prayed for wire wheel hubcaps, and I prayed for pink seats, and I prayed for the stereo sound, and I was specific in it, and that's what he did for me. Well, la-di-da-di-do. Isn't that the way it is? Isn't that the way it has become? Look what Jesus has done for me. He has given me material junk. I don't believe it. No, that's only half of the truth. And we've been ministering half of the truth for a good long time now. And I think if we do that, we'll convert into full error. Look what God has done for me, crowd. By ministering half a truth, has converted error. Converted into total error. How many are hearing this message today? And yet he does do something for us, isn't that true? Something greater than I have seen. It's not something you can see. Something greater than your ears have heard or your heart conceived. What are you conceiving up in your heart? Greater than what you can ever possibly imagine. Greater, greater, greater than you can ever imagine. Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't that great? Because you get bored with the rest of this junk anyway, don't you? Don't you get bored with it? Oh, you get a new suit, you get some new clothes, and you feel good for a day. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Unless somebody doesn't notice your clothes. Maybe you didn't notice I got new clothes on. Oh, yeah, I got... Everybody I see has got that same dress on. Did you buy it? It's on sale. I seen it down Dayton's bargain basement. Huh? I don't care what it is. Jesus has given you something so great, your eye can't see it, your ear hasn't heard it, and your heart can't conceive it. Isn't that the way you want it to be? I don't want to see it. Why? Because the flesh would find some reason for getting bored with it. They would. See, it's got to be totally in the spirit to really appreciate anything.
There you have it. That was part one of episode 278. Salt. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the
steeds. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor, or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It might be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. Maybe living in another country under another name. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be devil, it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. You may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. You're still gonna have to serve somebody. To serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.